Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
Welcome to episode 57 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Murray.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Taham.
Sasha Rackett.
Zoff Smith.
God, we're so slick. We're so flawless.
Slick. It's almost like we never made a mistake introducing ourselves with the wrong names, introducing ourselves as each other, or anything like that. That's never happened. So we've got our own names mixed up with our characters.
When it came round to mine, my brain was going, say Sasha Rackett. It's like, no.
I always get really afraid during that bit because much of the time James makes a really good joke and then my mind goes blank. And I'm like, I can't just say Hamid. I need a joke too. I don't have a joke.
I'm only worried during that bit that I might accidentally blow my cover.
So, speaking of things going surprisingly well,
yep.
You got ambushed by an enormous amount of gnomes.
Gnomes in trench coats.
It was gnomes in trench coats.
Standing on top of each other.
Standing on top of each other. Acrobatic gnomes who proceeded to do really badly against you, get quite blown up, a little bit killed, try going invisible and sticking you to the floor, and that also didn't work. Yeah. There, after Oscar Wilde, after all of the issues with Mr. Ceiling and so on, and you are currently in Paris, which is being slowly taken over by La Gourmande. The party are in the middle of a street with a few upturned vehicles, one of which Sasha exploded wantonly and successfully.
One of which got wobbled, just saying.
It did get wobbled.
Well,
it got very wobbled.
With your face.
Yep. Savagely wobbled.
The party are currently surrounded, all pretty much with the exception of Bertie, who's just doing his own thing as he is wont to do. The rest of them are all surrounding an Oscar Wilde who is completely unconscious, having been presumably poisoned, we believe. So, as it stands, we are at the beginning of a new round. Sasha, you're up.
So I'm still entangled.
You currently have been hit by a tanglefoot bag. Mm-hmm. You are not stuck to the floor, nope. But you are entangled.
Which means no dex bonus on anything.
You will move at half speed. You cannot run or charge. You're at -2 on all attack rolls, -4 penalty to dex. And then you must make a concentration check of DC 15 plus spell level to cast spells because your fingers have gone all sticky.
Wait, what? You didn't say that last week.
Yeah.
Oh, Alex! No.
Bryn, I want you to know it's just because I hate you. And also, you're single-handedly just pow, 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 pow. Yeah.
I mean, a more sensible thing would have been to throw a bomb, but she's not. She's angry. She's going to stab him.
So move up and stabbing one of the surrounding gnomes.
That's
a miss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sticky Sasha. Sasha's used to moving really fluidly, and now she's like the ball bearings have got the traces of stuff from the tape that we use to keep the mics in place. So it's all like just slightly the grey.
It's all gone wrong.
The grey, like the gluey bit when it's been peeled off.
Hamid, you're up.
Sticky. I don't like it.
Do any of them look particularly badly hurt?
Yes. They all look pretty badly hurt. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot in it unless you were to take extended amounts of heal checks.
Okay, I target the one closest to me with magic missile. I make a concentration check to successfully cast magic missile. I probably fail. Yes, I fail my concentration check and fail to cast magic.
Keeping
it
sticky.
Little
okay.
Clawed fingers just not responding.
30, you're up.
30 takes a 5-foot step away from the gnome who is dangling by the neck out of the window of the car. Up to one of the gnomes that was...
Just threw a tanglefoot bag at your back.
Yes. Bounce did it. and then he takes a swing at that nearest gnome.
You will be on a minus two.
Oh, natural 20.
Natural 20, roll to confirm.
One.
Oh! Crit is not confirmed.
Crit is not confirmed.
Good time for a one, it has no impact.
So is that just like, that's just a normal hit then?
Yes. You hit.
Okay, I hit him. And then rolling for damage. Yep. Eight.
They are down. Describe it as you see fit. They are not dead, they are dying.
Bertie takes one step towards the gnome, stares down at the gnome. Bertie swings the sword directly downwards, cleaves a huge slice off the side of one of the legs of the gnome as if he is slicing a Christmas ham.
Funnily enough, that makes it quite hard for the gnome to dodge out of the way.
Yeah.
That's why it's getting taken.
The hamstring just pings off and slaps against the ground. The gnome screams, passes out and falls backwards.
Yes, that happens. Okay.
James is just reminding us that even though we are playing a game, we're still doing a horrible violence on people.
Bertie is not a nice man.
No.
Bertie hates A, people, and B, gnomes.
Bertie's not the one narrating.
Well, I'm playing the character.
Zolf, you're up.
I will turn around, look at the one that is closest to me, and shoot an icicle at him.
This is a spell-like ability, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you don't have to make a concentration check.
Nothing happens, really nothing. 12 on a ranged touch.
Nope. Close, but no.
Fair enough.
Shatters against a car. The readied action that all of the gnomes used against you doesn't actually reorder initiative. However, that was in the last round. In this round, everyone has held their action in order to all go now. So there's going to be an enormous amount of moves, but it's because they have all basically given up their chance to move earlier to coordinate now.
Mm-hmm.
They all share a glance. It looks like something big's about to happen. At which point... they all scatter simultaneously, leaving their comrades. The two that do not provoke attacks of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
one of them ducks out behind a car, putting the car between him and Bertie.
Mm-hmm.
The other one ducks through the glass for one of the looted buildings.
Mm-hmm.
A remainder provokes an attack of opportunity from Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
He's outside range.
Freaking
oh, yeah.
Four. So
four.
Doesn't matter
you do not. It. Scarpers.
Round the corner.
Round the corner, keeping a car between... him and Bertie and Scarpers. As far as you can tell, they have all fled. Do any of you intend to pursue?
No. We would be incredibly ineffective at it with having been tangled.
We will drop out of combat in that case.
There'll be something. There'll be a bomb. Why would they flee? They had us right there. Like, let's get out of the way. Quick.
It's because we were beating them up.
You're so nonchalant. I love it.
It didn't work. They'd lost... half of them had fallen over. They knew they had to get going. Or
if you want to, let's just move wild then.
A couple of the gnomes groan slightly.
Bertie takes a step over to the one that is outside of the car, picks him up by the scruff of the neck, and
yep.
then carries him back over to the group. Okay. Look, I brought one in for questioning. I'll be bad cop.
Right.
No one else can play.
I'm going to stabilise the one that's on the floor.
Okay.
Do you want to look after Wild too?
I'm going to see if I can work out what's going on.
All right, so one of them went into a building through a looted, kind of smashed window.
Yes.
So Sasha is going to duck into that building and look around.
Give me a perception check.
It's 18.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. Bad for Sasha.
So what you see is it was clearly some kind of chocolatiers. However, all of the shelves have been completely stripped bare. There is nothing in there.
Well, apart from the ones in the window, because like Thornton's, they only have the plastic ones in the window. And in my hometown when I was growing up, somebody smashed the front window of Thornton's, only stole the ones that were in the front window. I discovered they were plastic. It was hilarious.
I'm afraid even the plastic ones have been taken.
Okay.
However, you do notice there is a small trail of blood, nothing gushing or anything, a few droplets that lead into what looks like a back room. The door is wide open.
Go into the back room.
You see the trail continues to a back door which opens into an alleyway.
Cozy.
Meanwhile,
I will make another heal check on Wild, because, like, not in the heat of battle.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'll take 10 for a total of 20.
So you take 10. Obviously, that takes a few minutes. Total of?
20.
Good news, bad news. The good news is it's not doing anything particularly deleterious to Oscar Wilde insofar as his health isn't diminishing. He's not.
For the benefit of people like me, that means it's not making it worse.
Correct. However, you also know that he's been hit hard by this poison. You don't know what poison it is, but short of having some kind of antidote to hand, you've just got an unconscious Oscar Wilde. There's not a lot you can do. You just got to let him sleep it off, really.
Bertie takes the gnome that he's currently carrying, pins him to a wall with one hand, and strips the gnome of clothes, weapons, equipment, so they all fall to the floor. How responsive is the gnome?
The gnome remains unconscious throughout. They're in a particularly bad way, in the sense of they are stable, and that's just about all they are. So they're not bleeding out on you.
Then they have, upon noticing that, unceremoniously drops the gnome from several feet.
You drop the gnome onto a pile of his own equipment, and
Bertie kicks the gnome aside to get to things that he's actually interested in.
There doesn't appear to be an antidote in there.
What is there?
There does appear to be the following. Are we ready?
While this is going on, I'm going to be taking the equipment from the other two gnome bodies. I'm going to take their weapons away from them, take any potions off them, because I don't want them going invisible and running away again.
So
Sasha's going to come back and tie them up.
Yeah. I'm not going to take off their armour or clothes, but weapons and any other equipment.
I will describe everything that they are holding upon them, and be aware that unless I say otherwise, they all have identical gear.
Yeah.
They are a team unit and have been equipped as such. Characters have another Tanglefoot bag each. They all are wearing studded leather armour, similar to Sasha's, but intended for gnomes, so none of you will really be able to wear it effectively. Hamid might be able to get away with it, but
I could wear it, but
it wouldn't be a particularly good fit.
It would interfere with spellcasting. Yeah.
They all have masterwork bucklers. They all have composite longbows. They all have 20 arrows. They each have a dagger. They each have masterwork rapiers. Yeah. There are, between all of them, 2 invisibility potions left. They are all carrying hip flasks full of what smells like not good brandy.
I leave it.
Bertie takes yours.
They all have identical money purses containing 50 gold each. And then one of them has, you see, a very small knapsack. The one that Bertie held up and just tore all the stuff off had a small knapsack. Inside that, you see a collection of jewels and gold. Mm. Give me the appraise roll, Sasha, I'm assuming. Give it your madam appraise.
She sees 22 of jewels.
22 of jewels?
Yeah.
To your eye, it looks like there is between 3,000 and 4,000 golds worth of jewels in this bag. Call it misc booty.
All right, let's grab him and get out of the city.
Yeah, we should probably keep one of these to question, see if they've got anything
Maybe
useful.
We should take the, like, just one of the empty shops or buildings around here for the night.
There are still the sounds of distant social unrest throughout the city. But again, it is very distant. It's not in this particular area. You're in a broadly deserted part.
I suggest we take 2 of the gnomes, because one might be used as an example to encourage greater loquacity on the part of the other.
Too hard to transport 2 of them. Let's just...
Wrong! Bertie picks up one gnome by the neck, picks up the other gnome by the neck.
Like chickens.
Making eye contact with Bertie, Hamid lifts up one arm of Oscar Wilde's.
Zolf, you're a big guy, do you want to help?
Bertie maintains eye contact with Hamid, pulls the papoose out from the empty brutal papoose out from his knapsack, shoves the unconscious gnome into the
papoose. One who's completely out, or the one who's stirring?
The one who's stirring, and he has it so that the gnome is directly facing up into his face, and the first thing he sees when he wakes up is going to be Bertie, like, staring right down at him. He's got the unconscious gnome, the unconscious, complete unconscious gnome in one hand. He picks up Oscar Wilde and slings him over his shoulder.
You have the carrying capacity for all of this. This is fine. You will be moving slightly slower than your optimal speed, but unless you plan on sprinting somewhere, that's not an issue.
I'm with 2 people who are mechanically slower than I am anyway, because they're tiny, so...
Correct.
It'll be fine. That's what we'll do.
This is the first time I really feel bad for Sasha, because she's just got... She's capable of genuine feats of speed going...
She might, just pop into some shops. As they're walking around, just scamper up and down. Climb up a lamppost and come back down.
So where are people heading?
So did Wild mention where he was taking us?
No.
Yeah, it was out. So we need to wait for him to sleep this off. I'm going to assume it's not lethal because that wouldn't be useful to them.
Yeah. We just need to find somewhere to batten down for the night, I guess.
Yeah. Any of these shops?
Might as well.
What shops are around? You mentioned Chocolatiers. What else is there?
So there
is a fancy pot of
chocolate. There is a Chocolatiers. Next door to the Chocolatiers.
There's a knife shop, and on the other side is one with super magnets. And if we just flip the switch, and then boom,
knives next
door across.
To the Chocolatiers is a haberdasher's.
Ooh.
It looks like its grating has been sort of torn up a little bit. People saw what was in there, and then they went, I do not need to loot hats. And then the looting stopped. Opposite the haberdasher's is a bakery, which has also been raided completely stripped bare. And then opposite from that, there is what looks to be some kind of extremely high rent studio art installation gallery type situation.
We should go a little further away just in case they get some, those gnomes get some friends and come back.
Yeah,
we don't
point.
Want to be in the same place.
Yeah. Right, if we
all the food shops have been looted, but if we can find, you know, a tailor or a furniture shop or something, that there might be some, you know, something we can use to keep ourselves warm.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess
let's walk for half an hour or so.
Yeah.
Find
20 minutes maybe.
All right, Ahmed, save 10 minutes of walking.
I'm tired.
We're all tired.
Right, so
I'm really sleepy. Can we stop at the services? I want a boiled sweet.
So we're having an aimless wander for somewhere to
towards the outskirts.
Towards the outskirts of
okay,
Paris.
Give me a knowledge local roll. I'd suggest probably Sasha, she knows her around best.
16 plus 10, 26.
26, okay, yeah. You make some solid journey. You know that Paris is big and 20 minutes isn't really going to get you to the edge of anywhere from where you are currently. But you make some movements. You're still in upmarket areas. And eventually you come near to a place that you know there is a locksmith's, which
super secure.
Is, yeah, for obvious reasons, super secure. And interestingly, as you're passing by and you scope it out and so on, you see that it appears that there's no one in. It looks like the shop doesn't have residences there as well. The shop is locked tight, but you reckon you can get in. Also, everyone give me perception checks.
Critical fail.
Hey!
21.
28.
17.
Everyone apart from Bertie.
No, critical fail because he thinks he understands.
I'm going to return to Bertie.
Okay, okay.
Everyone else, as you are travelling, there is the sound of an occasional sprint in the distance. You don't know what it is. There is a cry out in the distance. You don't know who it could have been. At some point, you think you may have seen movement up on the rooftops, but it's really hard to tell. You'll see a lot of people pull their curtains aside, see a bunch of people carrying bodies and close the curtains and make sure that they weren't seen. Bertie, as you're walking, you, rather than looking around, are just maintaining eye contact with the gnome's unconscious face as it slowly stirs, going, any moment, any moment.
And walks straight into a lamppost.
Any moment. You do not walk into a lamppost. Yeah. They all stop to look at the locksmiths. You keep walking. Any moment now. Any moment. The gnome awakens to your face, then proceeds to pretend really convincingly to be unconscious again. Sort of opens its eyes, sees you, goes, closes, so unconscious.
In fact, he actually says, I'm so unconscious. Bertie believes him.
So that's where we are. There is a locksmith that you could probably break into, Sasha, but that's because you're way above
Bertie,
average.
Bertie, back here, Bertie, back here.
Any minute.
So unconscious.
Any minute.
I cast dancing lights.
There are like twinkly things in front of you and moving around you, presumably.
What?
Bertie!
Oh, yeah, very well. All right. I'll come back any minute.
Right.
Best use of dancing lights ever.
Guys, the GM says that this locksmith will be secure, so we should.
Don't get meta on me, you'll take psychic damage.
Not a point at all. What else? So let's say we stopped on the street. What else is there?
There are a few upmarket townhouses and, you know, private residences. There is also what looks to be a florist's.
Maybe we can go to the
florist. Hasn't been looted.
There might be some food.
It doesn't have much in the way of security, but it's all intact.
Locksmith shop seems like it would be the most secure. And if you can unlock it and relock it, then...
All right. Let's go to work on this bad boy.
take 20.
If you're willing to take the time, you can take 10 or take 20.
Let's take 10.
Then you don't need to roll.
Oh.
So just 10 plus what your disabled device is.
That's 21.
So we covered it a while ago, but worth reiterating. Taking 10 is where you take the time to do it properly and you do an average job, but you're not taking any penalties. You can also take 20, which is where you take ages and you definitely fail at least once. So generally, you don't want to take 20 to disarm a trap that's going to explode, stuff like that.
But and you can't take 10 if you're under time pressure or if there are penalties for failure, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You unlock the front door, Sasha.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, in here.
All right, well, we can dump the hostages and Wild. Hopefully make them comfortable so that when he comes round.
Sasha might nick some locks.
So you all head inside?
Mm-hmm.
Sasha, the second that you open the door, a trap goes off.
Hey.
Okay, one sec.
Should have expected that.
What's your AC?
18.
You don't get reflex save, but it misses anyway. Mm. Two Tanglefoot bags from opposite ends of the room are catapulted. You open the door, hear... go, okay, close the door for a second. You hear a... the distinct sound of squelching. You open it. Two Tanglefoot bags from opposite sides of the door are catapulted immediately at one another, entangle one another, and just fall at the floor without you entangled.
Mm. She checks for other traps.
Give me a perception check. 22?
Mm.
You find there are a number of non-lethal traps spread throughout the building.
Basically, any shop would have been better than a locksmith's. That's sort of what I'd thought.
That said, none of them do you any damage. They're all actually very simple, but also none of them really have removable components. They're quite simple, and they're designed for someone who's trying their luck, who might have just taken a bolt cutter to the lock or something. It's nothing particularly exciting.
All right, guys. Is there a back room?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, let's go in here. You guys, see if there's any food around.
I'll have a look for some food, and I'll get everyone some water. There should be water at least. Check.
Five, 10, 13,
15. Sasha, you hear the distinct sound of a gnome mumbling really quietly. Super unconscious.
That's what is. Bertie's put both of them. Z.
The other one is still out of it. Like, there's clearly, like, permanent damage that's happened to the other one.
It's alright, I'll use magic.
Magic!
Alright, Sasha's going to lock the front door.
Sure.
One of the best locks.
Once you're in, there's a locker, which I'll just allow you to take 10 on. You open it, and it's the keys to all of the locks in the shop, including the front door. You find an outstanding lock, I believe is the technical term for it. Tell you what, if you want to stock up on locks, chains, and other assorted lock-keeping equipment, now's your time.
Yes, she'd like some chains and locks in her bag of holding.
Well, then I didn't mention it earlier, but since you're going, there is a masterwork set of thieves' tools as well. Technically, they're not thieves' tools, they are lockpicks for a legitimate locksmith.
I've already got those.
Sure, I just meant if you want them, they are amongst the things and they're quite useful.
Two times.
Well, Sasha, we probably shouldn't steal these.
They've already gone.
What?
The people that run it, they've gone.
Well, temporarily.
They've left.
They might come back. Well, that's what people do when they leave their businesses. They come back to them because this one hasn't been looted, so it's in perfect condition. We're using this as shelter, but
we shouldn't. Yeah, we shouldn't really steal from.
Why
these
do you
people.
Assume that you would be able to see her?
This is a very, very good point.
Yeah.
Perception.
Yeah. Well, my sleight of hand was 14 plus 11.
My perception was 14 plus 6.
You successfully palm a big bag of tools.
Fine, she won't take all the chains and things because that would be quite difficult to...
It's clanky.
Now, Mr. Smith, we have here two gnomes. I would like to question them.
I don't think we should let Bertie do it. I think maybe he could stand at the back as an example of, you know, a possible Bertie. But, like, let us do the talking.
Yeah.
I strongly object to that plan. I think I will be able to extract the maximum amount of information. By all means, you may ask the questions. I would like to apply the pressure.
You can do a lot of that by standing over there in that corner.
I do even more by standing closer.
You seem awfully eager to inflict pain upon these individuals.
Correct, Mr. Smith. They were awfully eager to inflict pain on you not moments ago.
Sure.
There is the very faint words of... not that bad, but really muttered in such a way that he's probably still unconscious, Bertie.
Categorically not.
We're now in a position of power, and this is the moral winks at Zulf. Moral thing to do. Heroic, even.
But if no one were to see me question one of them alone...
We'd know it happened.
Yeah, we're right here.
Look, a bee!
All right, gnome, do you know how hard it is for us to get this guy to not chop more bits off you? Tell us what you did to Wilde. Tell us what the plan was. Should I roll an intimidate?
Slightly louder so that everyone can hear. Oh, so asleep. Oh, unconscious.
We're not all as dumb as him.
He kind of opens an eye. Fair cop. We'll take a break then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hey, you, yeah, no, you with a face, yeah. I know I shouldn't be here, but got in like a wet ferret slipping through the hands of a moisturiser salesman, you know me. I just needed to let you know about this deal, right? You head over to rustyquill.com and follow the links to the store, or go on redbubble.com and search for us. I've been appraising this stuff and it is good. There's all sorts of stuff in there. You want Brutor's face on a mug? You got it. You want Hamid's face on the wall? It's there. You want Bertie's face? Why? Yeah, well, I gotta go now, but you just remember, right? Head over to rustyquill.com, follow the links. Tell them I sent you. Just, well, I just wondered, though, are you going to eat all that eel quiche?
And welcome back. So, the gnome sees which way the wind is blowing and just kind of slumps.
Right, so first things first, what have you done to Wilde?
No.
Parlez-vous anglais?
The gnome looks to the rest of them.
Sasha, French is
where is the vernacular railway?
What?
He just looks to the rest of the party. What and gives a weird sort of sentence. Shrug.
What a weird sentence for someone to know. Why do you know that sentence? He can't speak.
Just looks at the rest of them like, I don't know what I'm doing, gosh.
Bertie steps in and interposes himself directly between Sasha and Zolf and the gnome, leans into the gnome, picks up his, unsheathes his sword. He's going to, at this point, he's going to do a dazzling display.
Sure.
Out comes the feather boa.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you anything.
And he's pomp and pantering this.
So give me the intimidate check with your pomp and pantering bonus. And you said that you were doing it as a dazzling display. So this must include flashy swordsmanship.
It's going to include flashy swordsmanship.
Give me the roll.
Carve the McGuffingham chest. The McGuffingham crest into his chest.
Into his own chest.
Yeah.
With modifiers 13.
13. He looks at you. Sees your dazzling display.
I'm not a dazzling display. I haven't described my dazzling display.
Describe it.
Okay. Is it successful? Or is it
not successful? No, not even slightly. Like, like you've actively hurt your cause because as you're doing it, not because your attempt wasn't good, but this is a stone cold killer. You've gone, look at me, and he's just gone, I could kill you, I just got unlucky.
Okay, fair. So the gnome is tied up and
yes.
Propped up in a chair. Bertie takes the sword, makes direct eye contact with the gnome, waves the sword through the air in such a way like as to perfectly trace the silhouette of the gnome before chopping out all four legs of the chair. The chair slams to the ground and falls off the chair to one side.
So the gnome turns to Sasha and just says in a sort of quiet French mutter, listen, mate, can you do me a favour? Could you bring your hands apart and then bring them together? And then apart and together again, like really slowly for me. Like genuinely. Please.
Sasha looks at Bertie, looks at the gnome.
I really appreciate it.
Looks at Bertie, looks at the gnome.
Oh, God, do me a solid. Yes!
Slow hands.
Slow clap via Sasha.
Absolutely all of this.
Oh, yeah, he's assuming that you just don't speak proper French.
Young man, I would advise you to be extremely careful.
At this point, Bertie takes his sword and cuts off his ear.
No, you don't. Someone,
yes, he does.
Sasha jumps in the way. You
then,
can roll.
Fair enough. Give me the combat maneuver then.
19, only plus 2, so 21.
What's
That's
your combat
work.
Maneuver defense, James?
17.
17? You successfully trick Bertie. He wields his sword back, not in a big heffing swing, but just to try and get the angles right to lop off an ear, at which point, Bertie, you find yourself on your back.
What?
You're not sure how it happened.
What?
Look, he is going to kill you unless you do exactly what I say. And I'm not going to stop him killing you unless you do exactly what I say. You don't look scared, but we just took out 6 of you. I know you're trying to put on a front or whatever, but, like, he will kill you.
It looks at you kind of, not sarcastically, just kind of blank and just goes, and if I leave here, I'm dead anyway.
Well, you could come with us, or we could leave you here and we might manage to sort this city out. We managed to sort out some
pretty
big... Do you
have any idea how much Lagormon wants that guy? He can't point, but he kind of gestures with his head towards...
Yeah, I've got an idea, because Barrett wants me about the same.
Just during this conversation, I'll turn to Hammond and go, really would be useful if I spoke French, wouldn't it?
Oh, of course, and start muttering translation.
Oh, much obliged.
Barrett. Oh, yeah, sure, scary guy. Ooh, yeah, all right.
She'll kick him in the stomach.
As I see it, young Mr. Gnome, you have two choices. One of them is going outside of here and dying. The other is staying here, telling us what you know, and then dying. Now, there's a certain amount of discomfort that might accompany either of these choices. I advise you to choose very carefully which degree of discomfort you would like to endure.
Just tell us what you did to him and what the plan was.
I told you he'd been poisoned, hadn't he?
Yeah, where are you going to take him?
Why does Mr. Gourmand want Wilde so badly?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to die anyway, there's no harm telling us.
Fair point. Mm-hmm.
Can you ask him what the poison is?
Do you know what exactly the poison is?
It's drow poison. Knock him out for a few hours. We've got a few doses.
Antidote? I'm assuming you're translating that.
Bed?
All right, well, leave him tied
Coffee?
Up and then just Don't tie him up.
Are we sure that we wouldn't like him to be more chatty? Bertie, like, grabs him by an ankle and starts squeezing.
Look, Bertie, I just don't think there's anything he can tell us that's useful.
Well, there's only one way to find out, really, isn't there? And Bertie slams his left hand.
Bertie! Okay, you successfully break a helpless gnome's leg before the others can interfere in any way. Mm-hmm. He yells, then cuts his own yell short and is biting his own lip. He still doesn't look scared, by the way.
Leave him, Bertie. There's nothing that he might tell us. Like, we know Gormond's plan, right? He's nicking all the food so he controls the city. I'm guessing he wants Wild because Wild's some way to the meritocrats or something.
Also, if you say you just want to do it for fun, the answer is don't!
It's not fun so much as sometimes matters of business and pleasure intersect.
Unacceptable.
Bertie, if you can't control yourself, then frankly you can leave. We do not need this kind of action. We've been friends for a long time, but I will not stand by and let you do this to someone who is helpless and defenceless.
Yeah,
that is absolutely disgusting.
Guys, this is...
Shut up! If we want you to speak, we will ask you a direct question. Otherwise, say nothing.
And also, we genuinely don't need you. He's exploding fireman now.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was cool. Or hot. Yes. That was really, like, burning cool.
Anyway,
great.
Seems that Seven's a crowd. Get rid of the hostages. We don't need them here.
Wait, no, just leave them tied up and then we'll leave them overnight.
To starve to death? That seems like an excellent...
Yeah, this is the thing.
Locksmith will come back.
Yeah, and then he's got two hardened criminals. They've got two hardened criminals in their shop. The best thing we do is we kill them quickly and cleanly.
The other gnome begins to stir. Not awaken, just stir.
You know what? I am going to keep them tied up, and then when Wild wakes up, he might have some route to some people with some resources that can either lock these folks up, can sort out Paris, or can tell us what is going on, and I think that will change the situation.
All right, we can wait.
Very well.
I have one more question. You, where was your base of operations? Where did you get your orders? Where is the Gormond?
Well, everyone knows that. I mean, it's Eiffel, innit?
When you in town?
Listen, I mean, it's not my place to interfere or anything, but there's a third option here. Like, you've got the cash, right? I mean, if it was going to go as a bribe anyway, just take the cash and leave.
A bribe to who?
It was either an invite to Wild or a bribe to whoever's with him to just stay away. I mean, you kind of have the bribe anyway, so you could just take it and leave, and then everyone leaves you alone, and we keep Wild, and everyone's happy. Right, job done.
No, I don't think so.
I think, in fact, what we might do is kill Le Gormond.
I think that would be very impressive. If you're able to, you know, maybe take out a meritocrat. Ooh, tell you what, gods, they're hard to take out. Maybe,
someone gag
maybe all
him.
Of them as well.
Yep, gonna gag.
I turn my hand into a claw and slap him round the face.
We're gonna gag the really arrogant, mean gnome. He's been really hurting our feelings.
The other gnome wakes up.
Gag preemptively.
And yeah, is very still and quiet and just lets you gag him.
Right, so I think we all need to just... calm down a bit.
I'm having a nap.
That's a good plan.
I'll take first watch.
No.
I'll take second watch.
I'm going to accelerate time
Bertie
at this
gets
point.
No watches.
Who does take first watch? Because we all know Bertie is not being left
I'll
alone.
I'll take
anymore.
First watch.
Okay. Who takes second?
Sasha will.
Okay.
And this is until Wild wakes up.
Okay. Just for the format of it, there is a front room, which is the shop front, which is full of locks, lots of things hanging from the ceiling, from the walls, and so on. There is the back room, which basically had a desk for some administration. It had a safe. I'm going to skip ahead to, you look in the safe, it's full of boring stuff.
We still haven't eaten anything.
And upstairs, there is a storage room full of crates, which looks like it's raw materials for the making of locks, and there is a workbench with some tools.
Mm-hmm.
You find a
dinner?
Left... like what looks like what's left of a packed lunch from a couple of days ago up there. The taps are working. There's running
we've got water.
And Bertie still has a couple of days of fortified iron rations from his side quest.
Okay.
Which he will split because he's nice.
for some definition of the word nice.
He just doesn't have that much of a concept of time, so the idea of rationing things and keeping them for himself for the future doesn't really occur to him.
So we will skip ahead to...
one of the reasons behind his massive financial problems. Like.
We will skip ahead to the middle of First Watch.
Sure.
Other people have had been kicked down for a while.
Zolf, do you know much about magic? Do you know anything?
Not really.
Sidon kind of gives me the stuff.
No, I guess he just kind of takes care of it for you.
You're a bit spooked out by
your... Something really strange is happening.
Yeah. Your face went all mouthy.
What?
Long, kind of. And
that,
you got...
That spell I cast, I've never studied it.
Yeah, and you got the scales...
Yeah.
And the claws.
Something really strange is happening to me.
I wonder what?
And a snouty mouth.
What?
And breathing fire.
Breathe? No, 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 it's a spell.
Well, I mean, it's a spell that comes from your mouth then.
No, no, I aim it with my hands.
No, it came out of your mouth a bit. There was a bit of mouth fire.
What?
Happening. Yeah.
That's not how that spell works.
Well, that's how that worked in that particular instance.
No, no, no. It's a spell. It's called Scorching Ray.
Right.
But I've never studied it. I shouldn't even know what it's called. I've suddenly got this knowledge in my head and I don't know where it's come from.
Do you accidentally worship a god?
No.
Did you end up doing that? Are you maybe an accidental cleric?
No, I don't think so.
Happens to the best of us.
One day you wake up and then it's like, whoops!
I accidentally slipped and heard the good news.
And now I've got watery legs and I don't know what I'm doing.
Too hard about volcanoes. They're lovely. They're lovely and then you get powers.
Got a volcano, it's like, deal.
My professors at university always told me casting spells would require hard work and memorisation. I've never needed to do any of that. The spells just... happen when I want them to.
Right.
I don't think I'm a wizard.
Okay. I mean, I do actually have knowledge arcana.
Give me the roll.
So
the roll.
I'm gonna do a
what are sorcerers? 8.
You think you put a teacup on it?
You do know what sorcerers are. The only problem is you're not
26 on my knowledge arcana.
There you go.
The problem is you know what sorcerers are.
There's no,
You don't tie that. You don't tie that connection in your head.
No, fine.
Hamid, here's how the thought situation goes. I cast that without studying. Most likely option is I'm some kind of spontaneous caster, and I can't play guitar, so that makes me a sorcerer.
Because he's not a bard.
Yeah.
Nah, that's ridiculous. That's literally the thought experiment. You're aware what sorcerers are. You're aware that this ticks a lot of the boxes. It's just it's an idle fancy.
Maybe I was a chess grandmaster.
You know what I mean? It's like believing that, you know what, I am the best ski jumper, I've just never tried. But that's the only reason I don't know.
Yeah. Should I have tried, I would have been a true proficient.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. I am going to skip time ahead to the middle of second watch. Who is on second watch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Bertie? Or
no.
Bertie prevented from being
Give me a perception check, Sasha. Everyone else, I'm actually allowing you to sleep. You are tired and hungry, and it's been a long day.
Also, murdering gnomes aside, with your perception checks, there's no point in it.
He stares at them directly in the room. Instead, Bertie is asleep, and he's having this wonderful dream where he's going through a garden centre, smashing up literally everything there.
And it's weird, the plants in this one aren't trying to get you, they're just there.
Yeah.
He gets to smash both furniture and gnomes. It's two favourite things to destroy.
Your little pointy hats!
So, what was the perception?
21.
21. Sasha, there is someone on the street outside and they have moved close to the exterior wall. You hear the distinct sounds of more than one person outside.
She's going to stealthily sneak into the front room, because we're all in the back, and see if they are trying to get into the building.
Give me a stealth check. The perception check will roll over.
27.
You move up to the door. There is the distinct sounds of multiple people outside.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you were to look through a window or a keyhole or something similar, you're not going to be able to see what's going on.
Look through. So the keyhole is too obvious. You always just expect that because you have a giant, glowing, unblinking eye. Right?
Or the other end of a crossbow bolt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there not going to be like a security peephole?
Ooh, like, so it is a locksmith.
Yes.
She will look through the security peephole.
You see a human on the other side, right up to it. They're not putting their eye to it or anything. Mm-hmm. They don't seem particularly concerned, at which point they knock very loudly on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Bang, bang, bang.
Doesn't answer.
He waits a little bit. You see him turn, gesture. There's a little bit of movement at the edge. You can't really see what it is. Then he turns back. Bang, bang, bang. Come on.
Okay, she's going to sneak back to everyone, wake them up.
Have I slept enough time to recover my spells?
You have not.
Yeah, she's not going to wake up Bertie. I'm going to wake up these two and
Zolf
say...
and Hamid.
There's someone trying to get in.
I need like look for a way out the back and get Bertie out as well, quietly.
Bang, bang, bang. Take your time, but we're not going anywhere.
I'm going to go upstairs and see how many there are out
there. I'll go upstairs and look out.
We'll look for a back way out.
Do you know who it is? Is it more of Gormor's gang?
I don't know who it is, but who else would it be?
I know, police.
They've got some sort of telepathy. The gnomes communicate.
Bang, bang, bang.
Kept them with us.
Should have killed them.
You got about 3 minutes.
So Sasha goes up to the window. She goes upstairs and there's the window there. What do you want?
He looks up. Ah, hi. Hi. There is a comparatively well-dressed man there. He is wearing a suit. It's not super slick, but it's a good enough suit.
Is it a dining? Like, has he done up like a chef? Or like with a little sort of a big...
Oh God, he's like a super villain.
He doesn't have a neon sign saying like "Oh man, no." Yeah. And he's carrying a briefcase.
The full suit, of food.
No. Yeah. From this distance, perhaps.
Yeah.
The suit is well cut, but not particularly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a perception check.
28.
You pick out at least 6 other people on the rooftops of the buildings opposite. And there are a few people covering alleyways and the street. He's there holding it. He looks quite cheerful and happy. And he's just sort of going, hi, yes. I understand that you are one of the people who's holding Oscar Wilde.
Who?
Very, very irritating. Obnoxious, arrogant. Has atrocious sense of style.
Bertie stirs at this point. his ears are burning.
Yeah.
Massive liability. And frankly, not really worth the amount of money that we were... going to pay you to hand him over anyway.
Like on fire?
Yeah, I was like, nudge Hammond. So he does know him then.
and Wilde isn't awake yet.
Wilde's still unconscious. Like, he's out.
I mean, that sounds like quite a few people I know, frankly.
Listen, I do really appreciate this conversation.
While this is happening, I'm going to gently wake up Bertie and impress upon him as quickly and efficiently as possible the need to stay quiet.
You know what, for one time, just give me a diplomacy check on that one.
Was it just 30?
Bertie, even if you don't want to be quiet, he's given a very convincing argument in about 2 words. He said be quiet in the way that like world leaders say the words peace now and stuff like that. Like, there's a...
An undercurrent of threat and bombing.
Yes, yes, there is. Sasha's in the building with her bombs, and there is an undercurrent of threat. Yes.
Bertie understands this, and will definitely try and be quiet.
So this is very good because I always imagine Bertie probably like wakes up with a melchit like just to start the day.
Just opens his mouth, expecting someone to pour kedri into it.
What is it that you want, and why would you want such an obnoxious man anyway?
Listen, I'd really like to come in, or if you would be willing to come out, whichever. We're okay to wait for a little while. Obviously, there's a lot of people out here. You take your time, but obviously, if you don't let me in, we might have to take you out. That's not going to be pleasant for anyone, and we don't need to behave like that. We're not animals.
All right, we're just going to look into breakfast, and then we'll see about...
Remind me, sorry about that. He puts the briefcase down, opens it, and he takes out a set of croissants, and he puts them on the doorstep, closes the briefcase, picks it up and just goes, I understand there's obviously food's a bit scarce, this is just a little thing. He starts walking back, turns around, yeah, take your time, but obviously not too much time. He kind of laughs and then goes over and stands quite casually next to one of the burlier, scarred, grizzled, shaven men.
Sasha comes down basically without bothering to really be quiet, like... All right, so there isn't really much hope of getting out of here. There's like 6 of them out the front that I could see. There's some on the roof. They're going to be out the back if there is a back way. Any trapdoors into the sewers that you noticed? Anything?
Well, if you have a look around, I'm going to see if I can get Wilde up.
There's something I think we should do.
What?
Kill the 2 gnomes.
Seconded. Motion carried?
Mm. Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
fancy making a sacrifice?
Drown
Mr. Smith? Perhaps we could call down a mighty thunderstorm. I'm not going to be doing any of that, thanks, for the moment.
So you've told all these people about us. Well done.
They got genuinely confused.
They've come after us. You told us, what, with your telepathy?
The gobby one kind of pulls at his gag to
take his gag off.
What?
Well, you've obviously brought these people down to get us.
How? We were with you.
Yeah, but you were communicating while you were invisible.
You let 3 of my mates get away. Let's look at the options. Number 1, telepathic... gnomes.
Yeah.
Two, someone said they're over there.
I've seen gnomes, and they can like burn stuff into people's skin and appear out of nowhere. That's what gnomes can do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's some humans that can fly and turn people into, I want to say, rocks. Like, if I could do that, do you think I'd be here? I'd be in a castle made of marshmallows with a pet unigriffin or something. I don't know.
Sounds quite cool, actually.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Sasha has more in common with these than anyone else in the team.
Yeah. So the decision has been made to kill them. Mr. Smith, last offer? Last dibs for Poseidon?
Look, if they're not telepathic, just throw them out the window.
Listen, like if you just take that cash, right, and just leave, you'll be able to leave. They don't care about you.
Throw them out the window and tell them that's what we're doing.
So I'm going to start kicking Wild, slapping him in the face. I'm going to create water in him.
Wild is waking up, but he is not awake yet. He is still groggy. He can open an eye.
What time of day is it? Because that is actually important for me.
It is night now. It's not late at night. It's sort of early night.
I meditate in dawn. Right, we're not getting anything out of him. Right, so our options are...
Sasha is desperately looking for any kind of trapdoor into an underground sewage network or catacombs that might exist.
Give me a perception roll.
To see what the flooring is made of. 21.
You find underneath the locker holding the keys, there appears to be actually a trapdoor. Some kind of bolt hole.
Right, she opens it.
It's not a tunnel that leads anywhere. It is the equivalent of a safe room, enough for one person to sit in, which has a small amount of food, a small amount of water, and a door which you can lock from the inside that would only open from the inside. But it's enough for Hamid. Sasha could possibly squeeze herself in. Zolf, no way, and it would only fit one of you at a time.
Bertie is basically sitting in a safe room and wearing it around all the time anyway.
Right, so maybe what we should do is put Hamid in with Wild to keep it locked. It means if they open it, they get a big fire blast in their eyes. And then we say, well, we don't have him. Look, search for him.
I think they know we've got him.
No, they're guessing that we do. I mean, we killed the other gnomes, but I guess...
They followed us, right?
All right, so...
If we kill the gnomes, then it's obvious that we have a reason to kill the gnomes.
They're annoying?
Well, that's a point. Now, if I make my displeasure of the entire existence of the gnomish race publicly known to
all
of them, then... And Bertie carries on in full stream.
Oh, my.
About, like... And it gets really weird and awkward about how gnomes control all the world's banks. Like, it's really nasty stuff.
Wait, no, Bertie, we met who controls the world's banks and killed it.
It was made of brains.
Yeah. Well, maybe some gnomish brains, but probably not all...
How deep does this rabbit hole go?
But also human brains and dwarf brains. All brains together, working together in a kind of way that's beautiful, as well as hideous.
The gobby gnome turns to the gnome that is still gagged and just gestures to them with the head going, we lost to these guys.
Whatever we do, we shouldn't discuss our plans in front of these two gnomes. You may be communicating it back to the outside. Can we please get rid of them?
Fine! Stab one through the neck, stab the other one through the neck.
Oh, spoil my fun, Mr. Smith!
And we will end
after
the episode
after all
there.
That!
Oh my gosh. You are the worst.
The audience.
You are the worst.
Yes, my character's the worst. Why has it taken us nearly 60 episodes to discover how the worst my character is?
You're all the worst in special, unique ways.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll end the episode there. Okay.
Zolf.
He's a complicated man.
Never be at the mercy of a good man.
Is he a good man?
Yes.
It's written on my character sheet.
You are lawful good. I mean, what's Percy? I forget
so
now.
According to the Adventurer's Code, we have the right to execute these people.
Yeah. So as we disappear down the rabbit hole of moral nuance that has become this podcast over the last few episodes.
Yeah, that's all good.
I think we'll return again next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Programme is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com, or search for The Programme Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Could put like toffee in it and
test,
it'd be all
warm. Test.
And, like,
oh, gruesome.
Oh. Test, test.
Idiot.
Test, test.
Test, test.
But toffee is perfectly normal and delicious.
Not when kept there.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, and with me today I have
James Ross,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McCuffingham.
Hammond Salahurun out of hand.
Lydia Nicholas.
Zolf Smith.
That's my name.
I didn't even pick up on that.
You also didn't give yourself
a
name.
You didn't do your name either. It's tiring, really, remembering your name. Day in, day out. Never get a day off. Yeah, but you were communicating while you were invisible.
You let three of my mates get away. What's more likely?
They were dead. I genuinely thought they were dead.
No, they're the ones that ran off.
Oh, right, yeah, I forgot that. We're
Perfect, use it.